think about what you're leaving on the table. If you're not being trying to be creative around pricing, you're losing. If you're not thinking about ways to add some sort of dynamic element and trying to find ways to increase profitability from that standpoint, then someone else is.
Coffee's for closers only.
So we've established my proposal is sound in principle. Now we're just haggling over price.
Let's see how much we're going for on eBay.
Man, it's the same as Dunkin' Donuts. Cost 15 times the price.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Jennings Executive Search. I had a great conversation with John Jennings about the skills needed in different pricing roles. He and I think a lot alike. If you're looking for a new pricing role, or if you're trying to hire just the right pricing person, I strongly suggest you reach out to Jennings Executive Search. They specialize in placing pricing people. Say that three times fast. Welcome to Impact Pricing, the podcast where we discuss pricing, value, and the driven relationship between them. I'm Mark Stiving. Today, our guest is John Jennings, and here are three things you want to know about John before we start. He is the founder at Jennings Executive Search. He is the first official sponsor of Impact Pricing. Thank you, John. And he and I talked a little while ago just to have a chat, and I was impressed with his perceptions of what it takes to succeed in pricing. So welcome, John.
Nice to be here, Mark. I appreciate it.
First, thank you for being our sponsor. We greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And how did you get into pricing?
Well, I was working like M&A and corporate strategy roles for this client of mine, WestRock, and they asked me if I wanted to work pricing strategy. And I was thinking more along the lines of like contracts and kind of doing the more finance side and looking at profitability. And I said, sure. I got into it, realized I didn't know what I was doing. So I called my brother. He works for Amazon. He leads pricing for one of their segments, and just started picking his brain and started calling consultants for a senior manager role they had. Finally filled it. Kelsey Serba over there really educated me a lot. She was very patient with me. I think she just liked the fact that I was working hard for her, or I was hungry and trying to learn. But she taught me a lot. And I started reading articles, like joined the Professional Pricing Society. I wish this podcast existed back then. I would have definitely jumped on that. And then we ended up placing like 8-10 people with her. And I started to market it around. Love the space. I love the fact, the impact on profitability, the dollars that these people can bring to an organization, the uniqueness of the strategy, how it sits. So I just kind of fell in love with pricing and slowly grew it to kind of being 50% of my desk and hopefully continuing to grow.
Well, I got to say that I fell in love with pricing a long time ago too, for a lot of the same reasons. It's so powerful. So what do you tend to find when someone's trying to hire a pricing person? First off, what levels of pricing people do they hire recruiters to go help them find a pricing person?
Pretty much all levels, from the tip of the spear, whether they title that a VP or what have you, down to some analyst. And we do everything from the top to the bottom. So yeah, it's typical, all levels, I would say we focus on.
Okay. And so that's actually a great question then. What are the differences in skills when you go from, let's start at the bottom, so the pricing analyst, and that's not to demean a pricing analyst, right? But let's start at the pricing analyst and work our way up towards a VP. What kinds of skills do companies look for?
Well, not all VPs are created equal, and not all analysts are created equal. And it depends on what the company's strategy is. If it's a lot of tactical elements, I mean, there's a world for that. I don't want to be demeaning to any level. There's certain individuals that are kind of, it's more rinse repeat in their job. And there's certain individuals who are, okay, we're going to build out these tools. We're going to utilize SQL, and they're down in the data, kind of doing a lot of the grunt work for the higher level people, but they also have to be very creative and come up with solutions to be able to pull the right data. Maybe they script in Python, or they get into some different areas, and that those people get more expensive. So, when we say an analyst, that can mean a lot of different things, but as you go up the ladder, depending on the strategy of the organization, the industry they're in, how they're pricing, if it's more commodity-based, it's not quite as sophisticated, even though some of these commodity-based industries and organizations are starting to add some value principles and trying to get creative with price, but you don't see it as common there. But yeah, there's not any role is ever created equal. And that's part of the fun part about pricing.
Yeah. So when I think of pricing skills, I often break them up into three big chunks. And so one I'll call data analytics. And I think that the pricing analysts fit there really well, right? Mm-hmm. Really having to understand the concepts. Then you take this, another step is a strategy. So what is pricing strategy? How do I make pricing decisions? I think as you move up, you're going to start to find more of that. And then at the top, it's the people who are actually able to do leadership or influence. So I think of those as three very different skill sets. Now, do you see those same skill sets? And is that how people tend to hire?
It is. I think in general, if you're going to, you know, kind of break it down like that, that's a good way to look at it. You know, there's the kind of the leadership element, the vision from the top. There's, you know, really, I see like a, you know, a good VP, depending on the size of the team, because some of these, it depends on the industry. You know, some VPs, they're really good mentors. And they help grow people's career, help put impacts on their resume, because people don't stay in the same job for 20 years anymore. So people want to make impacts quickly and leverage it in that company or somewhere else. They're really, you know, high potential, hungry individuals. They want that. So I think the part of the job of kind of the leader is to, you know, keep your team happy, keep them engaged, challenge them, not just tell them, hey, build a deck for some conceptual idea, but like real actionable items that they can work on and see the impacts. And as you kind of go down to the middle level, it's kind of executing that strategy is how I see it. Being able to manage the analyst, direct them on how they want the data to look. And then the analyst, yeah, kind of they need to be more technical, down in the weeds, Excel gurus, or whatever they're utilizing for to organize their data.
Yeah. And so what types of attributes are companies looking for when they're trying to hire a pricing leader? And so let's call it a VP of pricing, just to make sure that we've got a role.
So attributes vary, right? Let's give an industry for SaaS. I mean, the first of all, there's a baseline I want to find. I want to have that B2B, you know, if it's complex contracts, I want them to have experience going through the cycle of, you know, sales cycles with, from a pricing perspective, from organizations that have, where they've implemented a sophisticated pricing strategy and there's been a result and they can actually articulate that result. So that's kind of part of my screening process. And really they want someone who's, and this is an ideal world, someone who can be a psychologist or psychiatrist, someone who's like, has a lot of empathy. They can talk to marketing and sales and they can influence and kind of be multifaceted. It's almost like these pricing leaders need to be sales, marketing, finance, product, all in one. So, you know, it's usually, I call it flavors of ice cream. It's like, you're going to find people who have strengths in different areas. And which flavor do you want? Do you want strawberry, where this person's like excellent with the sales people, they can get buy-in, they can, you know, they have that attribute and they've got some strong technical skills and they can be a great leader, or someone who's very creative from a product side who, you know, can help with a lot of the product design and go to market elements. So there's just a lot of flavors and it depends on the client and the industry on what they want.
And so your job is to understand what the client's looking for and then go out and find the right people who have that set of attributes, whatever that looks like.
Exactly. And sometimes it's guiding the client a little bit on, it depends on where they're at in their cycle. If they've got a pricing strategy established, they kind of have a roadmap, it's helping them get there. It just depends on a number of factors, but our job is to find people who make impacts, who fit in culturally and have a history of really impacting the business.
I love the fact that you use the word impact a lot. Makes me happy.
Impact pricing. Yeah, that was, there you go.
There we go. And so I find it fascinating. You have some clients who come to you and say, here's what I want. So here's the job description. I've laid it all out. I know what I'm doing. It's probably filling a role that someone just left and we loved what they were doing. Sorry, they left us. And then you have companies that are trying to say, well, I need to go on this pricing journey. I need to figure out how to get better. And do those companies rely on you to help write job descriptions? And where do you get that knowledge from?
I take a lot of notes. You know, I do write job descriptions, not always. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of, I lean on the client to give me as much as possible. And I'll take 3 pages, 4 pages of notes. Probably wouldn't make sense to anybody except me. I just literally just put down quotes from them, and I'm able to kind of build that. And I know, you know, if I know the industry well, then I know the core skill sets needed. So that's easy. I do a pitch, and I do it on a, you know, on the form of like a cover letter almost. The job description is just kind of the meat and potatoes. I don't see that as something that's, you know, really, you need it, but it's not the end all be all. What I do is I kind of fill out like, okay, here's Mark Stivings running this team. He's a great manager, and here's why. Here's what I know about him. Here's some of the negatives about the job. Their data's a mess. All the, you know, I'll just kind of lay out the entire deal. And here's the positives. They've grown 30% last year. They were able to leverage some of the impacts from COVID to get new lines of business. You know, something, you know, where it's like you're telling the story of the organization, of the team, where they're at, the struggles they're having. And then the job description for me is somewhat secondary, but it's something that needs to be in there. And with my clients, I want to know that they've got buy-in, they've got value-based principles that they're implementing, that someone coming that wants to be more strategic pricing has that opportunity, and that they have some sort of roadmap. So, and then I build off of that.
So that was pretty fascinating, because I didn't expect to hear what you said. In other words, what you just said to me was, after I talk to the client and I assume that you've gotten the job, then I'm going to write up a big proposal. And I thought that proposal or pitch was originally for the client, but the pitch is really for the potential employee.
Yes.
And that's giving them tons of information that they would need to know about this job, way above and beyond the job description. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. So when I was wondering if you help write job descriptions, I was really thinking, are you helping clients figure out what they need in pricing people?
Yes. I gently guide them, unless they are self-aware and I can just dive into it. But usually by the time we talk, they, you know, unless it's kind of a whole new from scratch type of deal where someone came in, but usually that individual has a decent understanding of pricing because they're going down this road. And I'll educate them. It's more of, you know, I've got this role and they're telling me about all the tactical elements. And I'm like, okay, and I start talking to them, what's your competitive advantage? How are you utilizing that in your pricing strategy? What's it, you know, how is pricing talking to sales and they being able to influence the pitch? And I start asking these questions and it starts to pique some interest. And it's like, well, no, it's like, well, here's a person that this is kind of what they've done. This is what they're good at. And this is the impacts they've made from that. Like, I've got this guy who made $125 million impact in 3 years at a $1 billion company. Pretty substantial. A lot of $1 billion companies don't have that much EBITDA over 3 years, much less, you know, impacting EBITDA that much. And I think last year was close to 70. So it's really about me kind of telling them a story and asking questions to see if I can guide them to a more dynamic solution if they're not already there.
Nice. Just from the questions you were bringing up, I want to hire you as a pricing manager, right?
I've actually heard that a couple of times. I'm like, flattered, but I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, not my job, man.
I mean, I'd love to do it, but it would take a while to get me there. Yeah.
Pretty fascinating. So talk about, actually, the hardest question I get asked about hiring people sometimes is, we want to hire our first pricing person. So it's probably a $10 to $100 million company. They've decided pricing is important. They're going to go hire their first pricing person. This is really hard to tell them what to go hire. Do you have any advice?
Well, I start with questions always, because I can't give advice without context, because it depends on, you know, what you're pricing. I mean, what's the product? Let's take just a random industry. Let's say it's, I don't know, SaaS, retail SaaS type deal. You know, it's okay. Well, I just start to ask them about what's their process, and then try to like, have you thought about this? And do you think that would help? And just kind of, I call it pacing and leading. So you kind of get on their level, you understand their, you know, what they're currently doing. And then you just very in more simplistic terms, just kind of guide them to a solution and just show examples of, you know, not luckily for me, I get to talk to people all day who have done these things. So I can tell their story. And that's the biggest benefit that I have, is being able to kind of say, well, here's someone that came into an organization, kind of where you're at, and here's what they were able to do. And here's something that's quantifiable. And I can send you over their resume, and they put it on there, you know, would you like to talk with them? So that's, you know, that's kind of my approach.
Right. Right. Yeah. I find that the hardest thing, because I don't think companies hiring their first pricing person know what they really want.
No,
they know what they really need yet.
Yeah. It's so. More, you know, I just tell them to come listen to your podcast a few times and
hey, thanks.
Yeah. And hey, I'll get a better idea.
So you brought up the words value-based pricing earlier, and I wouldn't have thought to bring that up in the world of recruiting, but is that a big deal as you go find clients or potential employees?
And yeah, it is, because, I mean, you can call it whatever you want, but looking at more of competitive advantage, willingness to pay, and all the different kind of more sophisticated principles to pricing, instead of looking at it as a screenshot in time, looking at the longer view, if I can't get them out of that view, I'm not going to be able to help them, because I don't place that type of role very well. I don't find the person that's just going to come in and punch the clock and do the job. That's not what we're good at. I've tried to recruit those roles because there's people out there that love, you know, they're good at that, and there's companies that want it, but I struggle with it, the more kind of steady candidates. But we, you know, so yeah, it's all about education on my end. And if we can't get there, then, you know, it's probably not the best match.
Yeah. I often spend time trying to coach people on how to improve their careers, on how to get better, what they should focus on. What do you see as a gap that you usually can't find easily, a skill set or something that's hard for you to achieve for your clients?
Let me think. So let me take a step back. If I'm advising someone on how to build out their skill set, there's a couple of elements that you want, especially nowadays. Get into as much data science as you can. Teach yourself coding. It doesn't matter. As you get to higher levels, obviously, you're not going to utilize that as much. But you're going to still use that a little bit. I've got a VP he's got this very dynamic skill set. He just taught himself how to, you know, some data science elements. And he's got all the value-based principles. He's fully rounded from a skill set perspective, where he now is a utility player within an organization. And you always have, he can go help sourcing with some of their stuff that they're doing. And so I would say that's a core skill set that I think is good to have early in your career today.
And yeah, let me pause you. We'll come right back to the next step. I love the answer that you just gave. And I love it because maybe you're never going to code. And by the way, I coded when I was in college, and that was 100 years ago, and I don't remember any of it. But I kind of know some of the concepts around coding, and it makes it easier for me to pick up, oh, we're going to talk about how we use Agile instead of whatever the heck it is. And so suddenly I can communicate with the rest of the company, and I can think that way, even if I'm never going to do it again.
Bingo.
Right. Exactly. So I love that answer. Okay. Continue. This was great. Continue.
Yeah. And then as you move up the organization, it's about reaching out across company lines, not being afraid to go talk to the marketing person, pick people's brain. So you can, I mean, it depends on the industry you're in, but, you know, if learn about A/B testing, learn about, you know, the sales process, try to put yourself in the shoes of the salesperson and maybe like go on some sales calls, you know, just take that extra step and like, you know, nerd out with the product people, do your research. And if you, just to be able to have a conversation about these different elements at a higher level, then when you interview for your next role, those conversations become natural. You are not just stuck in your silo, and that's how you can elevate your career, because they say, okay, wow, this person's really, you know, they understand my product issue. Because you're going to have to talk to the stakeholders. You're going to talk to the product guy, the sales ops person, the salesperson. So, you know, try to expand that knowledge as much as you can and just always be learning and, you know, hop on Google.
I think that's also a fabulous answer. And I'll amplify it by saying, look, as a pricing person, we interface with almost every department in the company, right? And if you think about it, the entire company exists to create value for the marketplace. And our job is to go capture that value through pricing. And so we work with everyone in the company. The more you understand, empathize with all the other roles in the company, the better you'll be at pricing.
Yes. And one last point that I just thought of that, you know, I probably should lead with is be a driver. Don't be afraid to challenge above you. If you believe in your concept, just be the squeaky wheel until you get some traction, test it, do, you know, just beg, borrow, and steal until you can make that impact, because that's sometimes what it takes. When you're ready to like, give up on an idea, press through that. And, you know, if anything, the people above you will kind of respect your drive. They're not going to, they don't want to coach that out of their people. And if they do, they move on to the next organization because you're not the right place. That's my
I'll add one little caveat. By the way, I love the answer, but I'm going to add a little caveat. I think you have to be a driver, but you can't drive everything and you can't be a whiner. So pick the thing you want to drive and then be strategic about it. What are the things you can do to convince the company this is really important? And now you're practicing influence and leadership. And absolutely, I think that's an amazing answer.
100%. Yeah, it's a good caveat. You don't want to be the whiner. I know the whiner. It gets ugly.
Yeah, it is. It is not fun. Absolutely. So let's talk about money. Are pricing people well compensated now? Are they, is it going up? Is it harder to find them? Supply and demand?
It's all the above. It's going up. I'm pressing that. I was just having a call with a client right before here where I'm telling him, I'm like, look, market's changing. I was like, it's good for you and makes it harder to build a team. So it's what I'm seeing is increased bands. Typically, prior in years past, the typical strategy for HR would be, okay, what's our finance salary band for manager, senior manager on up? All right, well, that's the same for pricing. Well, that person I mentioned that their team's making $125 million impact, you know, finance isn't doing that. That's more of a sales impact. Maybe we should, you know, if we want to get these talented people, you know, there starts to be like more of bidding wars and there's more movement and it's slowly driving it up. I helped one Fortune 500 kind of upgrade their bands across the board, just kind of showing them talent that's more expensive. I think also if you want to go into find a consultant, someone out of a BCG or McKinsey or a Big Four with pricing strategy experience, those people are expensive. So they end up driving up the market even more. And so it's I'm working for the pricing guy to try to get them some more money. My clients love it and hate it at the same time. You know, it's really evolving to be more in line with the impacts they're making, which is nice to see.
Well, in a way, you're like, sorry for demeaning you for this, but in a way, you're like a realtor where you don't set the prices. You're just trying to find buyers and sellers and put them together so that they they can make a match.
I set the differentiator. This is what I tell my clients. I'm like, here, I'm going to send you a couple people at different price points, and you determine the value based on the incremental cost. That's my job, is to present you with the talent at different levels. And if I can have the freedom to extend it a little bit beyond what your current range is, and if you see the value there, then let's try to work something out if you have the ability to do that. You know, because the big differentiator is between the 110 person at the manager, senior manager, kind of the strategy execution, and the 155 to 175 person, that can be a seven-figure impact difference from what I see, from what they've done in the past and what they can do for this organization. I mean, that's the cost. I mean, I know it's much more complicated than this when you talk about salary bands and internal issues and different things. But if you're just looking at it from a dollar standpoint, the incremental cost typically has a pretty nice ROI on it.
Yeah. And I hope our listeners just caught a little nuance, because everything I just heard you say said to me, you need to be a driver. Right. You need to learn how to be a driver. If you want to be in that upper income range, then you've got to have the $100 million impact.
Yeah. And it's about really, you come in an organization, whether it's your private equity kind of hopping around doing, you know, companies are doing deals. There's got to be some sort of goal in mind. It's like, this is what I want to accomplish here. You want to check that box. I want to be able to make X amount of impact. And once you do that, you're good. You've accomplished what you came there to accomplish. Now you're looking for the next thing, and that can be within internally in the company or externally. But it's always about kind of setting those expectations for yourself and then executing it to your liking and checking that box.
Yeah, nice. You brought up the consultants, the, you know, people that are coming from McKinsey or wherever they're going to come from, BCG. And one of the things that I often see in the pricing world, I'm just going to share with you an opinion, and then I want to hear how this affects your thinking or your clients' thinking about hiring pricing people. What I often see is that you hire someone from a consultant and they've been exposed to hundreds of different pricing situations, different companies, different industries. And so I could take this pricing technique or tactic and say, yes, that applies here. No, that doesn't apply here. On the other hand, I could take a pricing expert from an industry, and they know this industry inside and out, but they think that's what pricing means. So they don't have the broad view of pricing. How do your clients think about this?
So I'll give you my scope on the consultant, because there's kind of a strength and a weakness to the consulting talent, especially if it's pure consultant. They graduated college, went into consulting, maybe they even did an MBA and came back. You know, their theoretical knowledge is outstanding. Their ability to kind of put together a strategy is second to none. And they've got a ton of exposure. So they've seen, like you said, they've seen a lot of different situations. What they haven't done is the back end, the execution side. They're used to walking into a building and they've got this price tag on their over their head that says X $1,000 an hour or whatever it is, or $1 million project. And they can get away with a lot because everybody's listening. When you're internal, you got to kind of maneuver a little differently. It's not the same. So there's a little bit of a struggle occasionally for that individual to adjust. And some don't. They just don't adjust well. Many do. And it's a good recruiter can kind of walk, hopefully help you identify that. But, as far as the industry person, it's kind of the opposite is true. They know kind of the execution side of kind of building out what the data needs to look like and doing all the different those different elements, and they understand their industry vertical very well, but they've only seen it through one or two lenses. And maybe they've got some more knowledge, but for someone that's earlier in their career or midpoint in their career, they've probably only had a few lenses, but the consultant has more. So I think if you're looking at building a team, I'd suggest getting a mixture of both.
I think that was an absolutely brilliant answer. I'd never thought of the strategy versus execution angle on that. And I think that's really good.
It's a big piece. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I love talking to people. I get to learn new stuff.
Me too.
Last question, John. We got to wrap this up. What's one piece of pricing advice you'd give our listeners that you think could have a big impact on their business?
Think about what you're leaving on the table. If you're not trying to be creative around pricing, you're losing. If you're not thinking about ways to add some sort of dynamic element in trying to find ways to increase profitability from that standpoint, then someone else is, and your competitor is, because they're working with me. There's, you've got to constantly be mindful of it is my advice. And where that leads, that's a whole different story. But being mindful of constantly trying to improve your strategy and looking at competitive advantage and all the different elements is 100% key.
Nice. Nice. Excellent. John, thank you so much for your time today. If anybody wants to contact you, how can they do that?
Look me up on LinkedIn, Jennings Executive Search. You can send me an email. It's just my first name. It's JON@JenningsExec.com. That's JenningsExec.com. And I will get back to you, and looking forward to connecting with your audience.
Perfect. Episode 119 is all done. This is the moment, once again, when I beg you to leave me a review, please. Even though it's not easy to figure out on Apple Podcasts, they are so valuable to us. I am hugely appreciative to everybody who's able to figure that out. And finally, if you have any questions or comments about the podcast or about pricing in general, feel free to email me, mark@impactpricing.com. Now, go make an impact. Thanks again to Jennings Executive Search for sponsoring our podcast. If you're looking to hire someone in pricing, I suggest you contact someone who knows pricing people. Contact Jennings Executive Search.